This is Northwest News from KNKX. There's a lot of uncertainty around having a kid. But add to that, not knowing whether the child will be born into a world that's returning to normalcy or into a full-on global emergency. KNKX's Kari Ploeg has this story about the roller coaster ride she's been on this year and the limits on our ability to control the forces that are shaping our lives.
Even before this pandemic started, a lot happened this year for me and my husband, Christian. We recently locked ourselves upstairs, away from our pets, to reflect on exactly how crazy life has been since January 2020.
So, my favorite thing about when we found out we were having a baby was that we genuinely didn't know we were pregnant. Remember, I took a pregnancy test because I thought I might be, and I threw it away.
Well, I remember you took it, and we were going somewhere, and I glanced at it on the counter, and I thought, I think that's like a really faint second line. Huh, like that looks like it's positive. And just then you said, yeah, it's negative. It's a negative test. And you said it with such certainty that I thought, oh, well, you know, why would I know?
A few days later, the doctor cleared up any confusion. The nurse just came in and said that we had a positive.
And then you came home and gave me a slice of cake that said, congrats, Dad, on it, and asked me to check my calendar, which you'd added an ultrasound appointment to. And the cake, I could tell, was from QFC, and it was really good.
News like that is hard to keep to yourself. It wasn't long before we decided to tell our closest friends and family. We started at my parents' house over dinner. Telling my mom was the most fun.
And then you go over and grabbed something and you started walking it over to me. And I think I caught a glimpse of Dr. Seuss and I was like, oh my God. I went, you're not drinking wine and you're giving me a Dr. Seuss book. What's going on? And I hadn't opened the book and I go, are you having a baby? And you just looked at me and said, yes, look at the book. And I opened it up. I didn't read it clearly. I just opened it up because I knew and I saw baby. I think I screamed. I might have screamed. And I instantly cried, instantly grabbed you, pulled you into a hug and was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. It was so awesome. I was so excited for everybody, for you guys, for the future, for everything. I was over the moon. I was just over the moon.
So some stuff about me. I'm a planner. The last thing I do before bed is check my calendar for the next day. Most days, my purse doubles as an emergency kit. I never leave the house without a stash of anything I might need between the moment I leave and the moment I return. Still, I recognize the planning part of family planning only goes so far. A lot of it is up to science and timing. And as one of my friends puts it, a million little things going exactly right to create the life you eventually welcome into the world. But when Christian and I talked about starting our family, we never imagined just how out of our control everything would get. It started with symptoms that had me on the phone with nurses almost daily, followed by a scary incident at work one day in February.
I mean, I was concerned, obviously. You'd had some concerning symptoms, but that they also were things that could happen in a normal pregnancy, and was just, you know, kind of trying to be optimistic. But like driving to your office that day was the first time where I really thought, like, it sounds like this probably isn't gonna end well for us.
That trip to the hospital was way more traumatic than I was expecting. I remember it was a lot of hurry up and wait, very clinical, not very empathetic, which is what you expect when you go to the ER. And I remember I had a really invasive ultrasound. We hadn't even had an ultrasound yet, so that was my first ultrasound.
I think everybody, including the nurses and eventually the doctor, knew what was going on. You have to still go through all these really traumatic steps just to kind of learn the inevitable at that point.
And I said to you after the ultrasound, I said, I don't feel pregnant anymore.
Grief grieving someone you never met is complicated. When I signed up for pregnancy apps to track my progress, I never thought I'd have to choose between save this child or remove child from profile. You know those apps, the ones filled with tips for being the perfect pregnant person, the ones that compare the size of your developing baby to different types of fruit. When I woke up the day after that traumatic ER visit, I stared down at a little blueberry, marking the first day of my 7th week of pregnancy. A pregnancy that didn't exist anymore. I always thought it was ridiculous comparing the stages of fetal development to a fruit basket, but it was especially jarring that morning. But not as jarring as that early morning phone call to my mom.
I was on my way to work, and there was just something about the tone in your voice. I knew something was wrong. And then you told me, and I think, honestly, for me, my first concern was you. I mean, I was, of course, disappointed, but I was more worried about how this was going to affect you than anything else and how you were doing, you and Christian.
When it comes to pregnancy and parenthood, society tells you there's a right and a wrong way to feel, a right and wrong way to share the news, a right and wrong way to prepare, to labor, to feed. The list goes on and on and on. But there's no blueprint for dealing with a miscarriage. There's no BuzzFeed list for the top 20 ideas for announcing your failed pregnancy. And society doesn't offer much beyond deafening silence. If it happens to you and you're brave enough to share, you learn about a catalog of traumatic moments your loved ones also suffered in that deafening silence. I didn't expect that we'd conceive so soon, and the surprise of that abruptly changed us. It was day one of something new, something scary and better than we could ever imagine. But after the miscarriage, we couldn't begin imagining our new life, and our old one felt incomplete. And as little as we planned for our failed pregnancy, we were even less prepared for what came next. Washington started shutting down March 12th, 2 weeks after the country's first coronavirus death was reported here. Schools started closing, followed by restaurants and bars. Soon, everything was shuttered. As hospitals braced for Armageddon, we had to decide, do we try again?
So when things did start shutting down, and we had already had the conversation that we were going to start trying as soon as we could, and we were hearing that we didn't know what hospitals were going to look like in March, April, May. Were you second-guessing our decision to start a family amid all that craziness?
I was a little bit. I thought, is this the responsible thing to do? You know, should we intentionally put ourselves in a position where we're going to require a, you know, good amount of medical care over the next 9 months? You kind of have the same probably economic concerns that a lot of people do. What's the world going to look like 9 months from now when, you know, we'll have to support this third person in our family? And, but, you know, I think once you make the decision that you want to start a family and be parents, it's not something that you just put on hold.
As we contemplated, should we or shouldn't we, Christian and I didn't realize the decision was already out of our hands. We eventually learned that just as Washington was shutting down around us, another 9-month countdown had already started.
Wow.
That's the only way to describe the first time you hear the sound of your baby's heartbeat at that first ultrasound. We didn't get the chance to hear that sound the first time. A heartbeat means the risks are significantly lower. But more than that, a heartbeat makes it real. We're doing this. We're on the clock. That's when the new worries took over our old ones. Thinking about the future when the future is entirely uncertain. Having your first baby is about as uncertain as it gets. When you throw in a pandemic that some of the smartest people in the world still don't fully understand, it's nearly impossible to imagine the future. I knew that any pregnancy that came after my first one wouldn't be the same. But I had no idea just how different this next one would be.
The first time, every day between when we found out you were pregnant and when we found out that we'd had a miscarriage, it was all I thought about. You know, just thinking about September and that time of year and having a newborn and how, you know, how excited my parents and your parents would be and how my routine would change. And, you know, I'd be at the Keurig in the morning making coffee and just thinking like, man, 8 months from now, I'm going to be doing this and we'll have, you know, our son or daughter will be rolling around in the living room or whatever. And now, obviously, I think about it every day and a healthy amount every day, but I feel like anytime you're going through anything challenging, the best thing that anybody can do for themselves is to, you know, it's the most cliche thing in the world, but worry about what's in front of you right now. The next task, the next day, cooking your next meal, living where your feet are and worrying only about what's in front of you and what you can get done right now.
When you're in quarantine and nothing around you is certain and you have no idea what the next week, let alone weeks or months, has in store, it can be really upsetting to think that far in the future. And I need to be in control. And you already have such a lack of control when you're expanding your family, and I don't know, this just feels like piling on.
I've thought to myself, do I need to quarantine myself and your dad for the whole month of December so that if this is crazy, we might have an opportunity to hold our grandbaby? And if the risk is still out there, even if we quarantined ourselves, would we still want to take a chance and be around the baby? It's really uncertain.
We try not to think about whether grandma and grandpa will get to hold our baby in the hospital, or if anyone will get to see our son or daughter, even from a distance, in those first weeks or months. Still, despite this absolute mess of a year, 2020 probably isn't going to be so bad.
There's like the classic scene that you see in movies, or in our case, The Office, because we've watched it 533 times all the way through. Everybody's there in the waiting room, you know, family, grandparents, whoever, they're in the waiting room, and dad comes out and scrubs in a surgical mask and says, it's a boy or it's a girl. And I think about that, whether it looks that way or another way, you know, maybe that's a FaceTime call or whatever, but if everything goes according to plan, we will have a newborn in December, and that'll be something to celebrate one way or the other.
What a redeeming thing to have happen at the very end of what has been a really crappy year otherwise. I think my favorite thing about the fact that our baby is going to be born in December 2020 is that hopefully when we look back at 2020, that's what we remember about this year. Not that we didn't get to see our friends or go to our favorite places or get our last vacation as a married couple without a baby, which we had to cancel. I think we're going to remember 2020 fondly, despite everything.
That story from KNKX's Kari Ploeg is featured on our podcast, Transmission. More information at transmissionpodcast.org or wherever you get your audio.